And the Oscar for the most obvious cold open in Oscar season goes to Fantasy Film League cold open.
It's Moonlight.
No, it's not Moonlight.
No?
It's not. No. Get over it, man. Get over it.
Joke. Oh no, welcome. Hang on. That was not last.
That was the year before. Yeah. Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast. I'm Mr. Birch. With me, as always, is Mrs. Smith.
Hello.
Right. No, we're again remote. We're doing this remotely. So yes. So as we've had some feedback from the internal thing, I have the superior microphone because you're annoyed about your microphone because it's creaky.
I have a rubbish headset that has a microphone that's not as good as yours, and can I make it creak a bit? Sometimes it just sort of, can you hear that coming through?
No, I can hear it.
It sounds like I have very bad arthritis of the neck.
It's funny because you're trying to remain as still as possible, and usually you kind of move about a bit when we do this, but we've got it on video so I can see you, but obviously we're just doing the audio side. But yes,
I'm doing a yoga pose, which is like stationary middle-aged man.
You should put a book on your head. Just, you know, I'm trying to improve your posture while we do this. Right, we've got a fair bit to go through, but we're going to blast through this quite quickly. You're balancing a book on your head.
The sound of the book going on my head. No, it's too heavy.
And that's the sound of the book smashing into his keyboard. we need to talk about the Oscars. We need to talk about some game stuff. We need to talk about what we did last week. No, yep. We need to talk about Julia Roberts. We need to talk about what we did last week because it still hurts. So we better just crack on. Let's start with the news. And there we go. Right, Oscar time. So obviously we need
to look. Time of year already.
It is that time of year already. It just comes round. It comes round because it's just one of those things. But we need to talk about some of the Oscars.
Your offhand comment perfectly sums up. Yes. The Oscars.
It's only because I'm desperately trying to get something up on my keyboard, but I can't because I'm recording and it won't let me.
But that's kind of how I feel about the Oscars. It's like, it's the Oscars. I mean, some people go, like, the media go nuts, right? Because it's a thing, it's an easy thing to go nuts over. But for me, it's like, you know, it falls into a couple of categories. It's either like the film that's obviously going to win, or you know, the shock film that no one's seen that wins. Right?
Well, it's a bit weird this year because, you know, I hate to point this out, but most of us haven't been to the cinema in 2020. I went at the beginning, but that's pretty much it. So a lot of these films have been released, but they haven't necessarily been seen by an awful lot of people. You know, because of circumstances being what they are. So, but on the system, we do give out points for Oscars. It's the only award ceremony that we actually give out points for.
And this is
the point where you have to go in and with a very large hammer and some duct tape and make Whopper actually accept it.
Literally, some duct tape.
But we give out Oscars for Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Director.
Yep, that's it. We stick to the people. We don't do anything for the film. So it doesn't matter what film wins. It's just the folks.
Yeah, it's too difficult to do that with the film because usually the film's already gone and it's just it doesn't work. So very quickly, we're going to go through the nominations and then we're going to move on. So if any of these people basically scream they're going to win the Oscar, or if you don't know what the film is, let me know. Okay, Best Actress is Maria Bakalova for Borat's subsequent movie film. Glenn Close for Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman for The Father, Amanda Seyfried for Mank, and Yu Young Yoon for Minari.
Right, okay, that's a lot of films I haven't seen.
Any of those films?
Wow, that's you're right. That is so unusual. It's like,
yeah,
because usually you've seen one or you've heard of one. I don't think I've even heard of any of these. That's amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think who win. I don't think Olivia Colman can win, like, on the trot, right? That's just...
Well,
like,
this is supporting. This isn't...
Okay. Is she going for the full set?
This is supporting actress.
Okay.
So she could be going for the full set. So, I don't know. So best actor in a supporting role. So best supporting actor. Sacha Baron Cohen for The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Wow.
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. Yep. Leslie Odom Jr. for One Night in Miami. Paul Ratchie for Sound of Metal. And Lakeith Stanfield for Judas and the Black Messiah.
So that's two for Judas and the Black
Messiah. Yeah, I think Daniel might be a good shout for that.
He's very cool. The Smith household are busy rattling through all the MCU films in chronological order, and we just got to Black Panther.
He's good in that.
And Daniel, they're like, it's just such a great film. But Daniel Kaluuya, very, very cool in that.
Okay, well, here we go for the best actor in a leading role. So Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, which apparently is really good.
Is that like...
It's metal is a metal. Yeah, he's because Riz Ahmed is a British actor, but he's pretty much decamped now to the US. Yeah. He is playing a drummer who I think is going deaf, and I think that's the whole thing.
Okay.
Then, and I think this is my choice, Chadwick Boseman from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah.
I think that might be a posthumous one. Anthony Hopkins for the father, Gary Oldman from Mank, and Steven Yeun from Minari.
Yeah, I think the Oscars are often quite sentimental. If you look at it, it's like people get they often get an Oscar because they deserve it, in quotes, right?
Yes.
Rather than necessarily for their best work. At some point, they kind of tip over and go, I can't believe so-and-so hasn't got an Oscar.
It's right. Time,
so I think Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be
a bit of a shoo-in.
It'll be a posthumous one, which has always been. Okay. Yeah. And then best actress is Viola Davis from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Andra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday. Vanessa Kirkby. Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand for Nomadland. And Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. My money is on Carey Mulligan.
Yeah.
I think Carey Mulligan will get that. All right. And then your last one.
Frances McDormand's won an Oscar before.
She has. I think it was three billboards outside.
Yeah. So she doesn't need, need one.
No.
Carey Mulligan would be cool.
Okay. I mean, Carey Mulligan.
I've got no idea about any of these movies. I don't know if any of these
movies. Well, I really want to see Promising Young Woman. It looks really, really good.
Back when we did trailer reviews, I think we saw it on the trailer.
We did. We covered it on the trailers because it got pushed back because of the cinema closures.
Which tells you just how long that's been.
It's a year ago. Yeah. It's come out now, though.
Yeah, they didn't just rush it out quickly. Obviously, I assume they're releasing it now, so it's Oscar. It's Oscar.
Yes. Contender.
Eligible.
Yes. Indeed.
Interesting. But they didn't just sort of sneak it out during one of the kind of earlier.
No, windows. They didn't send it out. Well, yeah. Well, there's no way to send it out
which is a little bit what it feels like when I look at the films coming up. But that's something we'll do later on in the podcast.
Yeah, and then finally, best director Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round. Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. She plays Camilla Parker Bowles in The Crown.
Yeah.
And I think she's an executive. Linkage. I think she was an executive producer or a writer on Killing Eve as well. Anyway, David Fincher from Mank, Lee Isaac Chung from Minari, and Chloe Zhao from Nomadland. Does David Fincher have an Oscar?
Oh, I don't know.
Because if he doesn't, I think he's going to win it. I think if they give it to Carey Mulligan, if Promising Young Woman wins it for actress, then I think and Mank doesn't win anything else, because I think that Gary Oldman won't win it for Mank for best actor. I think they'll give it to David Fincher for Mank, Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey and the Black Bottom.
Now, this is a little side topic on that I can't remember if I've gone through on the podcast before, but I'm a huge fan of Wikipedia list of pages, because there's a whole subsection of Wikipedia which is just list of. There is a literal page that I haven't just created, promise, on Wikipedia called List of Awards and Nominations Received by David Fincher.
Fantastic. And has he won an Oscar?
No, he has been nominated... The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
What? The Social Network, maybe, and then Mank. And, right. Oh, sorry, that was people. Sorry, that was actors in his film.
Okay.
This is a really confused. Oh wow. So why is that in this list? This page is called David Fincher, not Brad Pitt.
Okay. We're getting off topic. So I normally put a bet down on the Oscars.
He was. Those three films, he was nominated for Best Director.
So I normally put a cheeky bet down on the Oscars.
Hang on. No, he won. No, sorry.
This is great radio, by the way. You're doing really well.
Sound of a man reading a page and getting confused. Yes, for the Oscars, he was was nominated. He won for at the BAFTAs for Social Network.
Right.
He didn't win the Oscars.
Okay.
Right. Let's put that page away.
So,
Back away from the internet, Smith.
I might put a cheeky bet down on a few of these because I normally do.
You do?
I do. I normally put a cheeky... Well, the last time I put it down, I put down the ones I thought I wanted to
win. And is it like an accumulator where you say this and this and this and then you win something significant?
No. No, I don't do the accumulation ones because they're silly.
I just do three or four bets.
Yeah, I just do a couple and I see what happens.
Right. So who are you...
Well, I think Fincher...
Kerry Mulligan.
Kerry Mulligan for Best Actress. Fincher. Chadwick Boseman for Best Actor. Yep. I think David Fincher for Best Director. I'm probably going to give it to
Kaluuya.
Thank you,
David,
for Judas and the Black Messiah. And I'm going to give it to Olivia Colman for Best Supporting Actress.
Really?
Yep.
That's the one I think is least likely. I think we might have hit peak Olivia Colman.
No, she's lovely. She's too lovely.
All right. There's never too much. You can never have too much Olivia Colman.
Never, never, never. The woman is a national treasure. I've been reliably informed. Right. So we're going to come back to game stats later on because we've both got some stats. I'm looking at the past and you're looking at the future. Yes. I see that you've got a sheepskin coat in the background, which you're going to be wearing later so that you can give us your tips. So yes. We'll talk about that.
Will be revealed.
But we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about what we did last weekend. So we're back. So we need to talk about Bad Film Club. We do Bad Film Club. Since lockdown, we decided every 2 weeks we'd sit down and we'd watch a deliberately bad film. And generally, our films get voted for by our viewers. We sit there and we will drink and generally just mock the film. And we've done some really bad ones. But
the previous podcast.
On the Discord group, there's an entire list of the chats because they're there.
There's a transcript of every one.
Yes, it is possible that you could actually watch the film and follow along with that. But we don't recommend that you do that. But last week, we went too far.
Yes.
We decided that
there was
we've been messing around with Jason Statham films, which are always good fun if they're somewhat silly. We messed around with a couple of the Dan Brown Da Vinci ones. And then somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but somebody suggested that we watch Eat, Pray, Love
with Julia Roberts.
I think it may have been. But we watched Eat, Pray, Love. Not only did we watch Eat, Pray, Love, we watched the 2 hour, 40 minutes extended version of Eat, Pray, Love. That was a bad film.
Long.
It was so bad. The thing, but I think you said it best the other week when you said it doesn't matter if it's bad, but it does matter if it's boring. Yeah. And this film was boring. At one point in the film, we went off on a tangent, which would have turned it into a more interesting film. We all realized at some point that there's a character in the film who doesn't really interact with anyone other than Julia Roberts. And I think and your wife at the same time went, wouldn't it be really cool if he was a ghost? And everyone just went, that would be a better film. Whoa, that would be a better film. And it wasn't.
That's how bad it was. We were like desperately inventing more interesting subplots.
We were trying to make it more interesting. Now, I've had a look at some of the reviews for Eat, Pray, Love, and they are polarizing. Either this is the greatest film ever made, it's inspired me to go to India, I cried all the way through, or it's Jesus Harold Christ, that film was insanely bad. And there's nothing in between. No one kind of goes, it's all right. was all right. Yeah. It was great. It was all right. It was either it changed my life or please, please, I'm bleeding from my eyes, ears, and all other orifices.
Was it 50-50? Or was it?
No, it wasn't.
It was
more on the critical side than on that. But however, it goes to show that some, you know, we watch film people and some people will go, that was a terrible film. Yeah. And some people go, it's lovely. But I did a bit of research in Eat, Pray, Love and found out the backstory. Basically, to save you the effort of watching, if you haven't seen this film,
we're going to do spoilers, but don't worry, we're not actually spoiling anything.
If you're sitting here listening to it going, oh my, that sounds really bad. I might give that a try. Don't. Okay. Go and watch Jupiter Ascending or The Meg. Right, because they're great.
And that's saying
films.
Something.
And they're
if
great.
If we're suggesting watching Jupiter Ascending, the yawniest of yawny films, over this, that you should know, you know, that this is a serious warning we're giving you. Right.
It's Eddie Redmayne. Whisper, 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 shout, whisper, whisper. Yeah. Eat, Pray, Love is basically just a bad film. But the thing is they merched the hell out of that film.
Yeah.
You could buy Eat, Pray, Love, wine glasses, yoga mats, benches, like park benches. And I was like, why benches? There's like, is there like a pivotal scene in that film? I mean, I was too busy, you know, making preparations to commit ceremonial hara-kiri at the time. But is there a scene in that film where it's on a bench and it's like a pivotal scene? Because I don't think so. It just seems that they just slapped the words Eat, Pray, Love on everything they could find.
But what I don't...
And just merched it.
Yeah, and yet that makes so little sense about the purported message of the film being about finding yourself and not sort of being tied to material things.
I know.
And it's like, here's a bucket of material stuff for you to buy to make yourself feel better.
Yeah,
yeah, it was...
Eat, Pray, Love scented candle. You go, what? No. But anyway, the only thing that I will say about this film is that this was the first film where I rigidly enforced the drinking rules. So the drinking rules were pretty simple this time around. Every time Julia Roberts ate, you had to take a sip of your drink. Every time she prayed or did something that you would class as spiritual, then you prayed. And every time there was a voice, sorry, you drank. And every time there was a voiceover, you took a sip of your drink.
Every time she did a voiceover, I prayed that the film
would end. And I loved it when it did. So, I mean, we normally do these things every 2 weeks. We're not doing one next week. I haven't got the... I mean,
I
need to decompress. It's the Easter break as well. But, you know, we're getting a lot of requests to go back to just to watch Nick Cage films because we know where we stand.
They're bad,
with Nick Cage.
But they're not bad.
But they're enjoyably bad. But So I mean, this really is just a public service.
What I hadn't realized was I didn't realize that the title Eat, Pray, Love was kind of effectively a three-act description
of the film.
The movie.
Yes.
It's like, in the beginning, she will eat.
She will eat a lot in Italy.
Then she
will go to India and then she will pray. And then she will find love in Bali. Yeah, it's insane.
But based on a true story.
I can't even.
Birch puts head in hands.
Oh, it was so bad. She was.
Yeah, but reading into the story, because we started, on the side while watching it. It was like, you know, the Smith House. We were like, is this real? Oh my god! The author of the book didn't seem like the nicest person.
We all decided that she was a terrible, terrible person, and then read ahead and kind of went, wow, that story. That story ends lovely in the film because everyone, sails off into the sunset with Javier Bardem. But it just, yikes. But you know, the other thing I read is Brazil got annoyed with Javier Bardem because apparently he's Spanish, obviously, and his Portuguese is terrible. So they said, why couldn't you get someone who's Brazilian to play someone who's Brazil? Because his Portuguese is awful. And you went,
it's not that kind of movie.
Even Portuguese people were kind of going, look, I like Javier Bardem, but come on. I would have forgiven him if he'd been a slightly better film. Yeah. So,
the whole film, it starts. Oh, you go.
No, go on. But we're done with it. I can't talk anymore. Go on.
I was just going to say, like, it starts with a film like, you know, a well-paid travel journalist.
Travel journalist who's got a massive house in New York and is minted and has a really cushy job, decides that she's just not happy with life.
Yeah.
And you go, you what, love?
It's like, have a word with yourself. You know,
Oh no! Yeah, we were screaming yeah. privilege
so you start
into the thing
within the first 10 minutes, having no empathy for this character.
You start and then disliking her,
and then forced to watch her go round and learn to speak Italian by waving her hands about. Literally, there's a scene where the Italians explain that you speak Italian by waving your hands around. Now, and then you sit through a television advert for Italian food. There's literally slow-mo shots of like the food.
Yeah.
Like really long extended, like it's like food porn.
It's insane. As somebody who lived in Italy for 3 months, I will tell you that gesticulation in Italian, there is a grain of truth to that because it is quite demonstrative. But there's a usual joke with Italians. If you tie an Italian man hands behind his back, he can't speak anymore, which is kind of funny. But at the same time, it isn't all this. It's all a little bit more. But here's my thinking. I like Julia Roberts. I think she's really funny. I think she's got some great films. Her best film, Fight Me, is My Best Friend's Wedding. Because she's properly evil in that film, and she's loving it, right? But this film made me dislike Julia Roberts, and that is a difficult thing to do. However,
well, that's actually a sign of very good acting.
No, it's just a very bad film. However, it has given me another point because last night I watched Molly's Game.
Oh yeah,
with Jessica Chastain.
Uh huh.
Have you seen many Jessica Chastain films?
I've seen a couple. Yeah.
Okay, because I haven't seen that many. I've seen The Martian, because she's the commander of the Ares in The Martian, and she's very good in that. But she's, but Sebastian Stan's
but then the whole
in
cast
that.
Is apart from Sean Bean, who's sort of doing a different, like, film. But yeah,
hang on a second. No, first of all, Sean Bean is Sean Bean. One does not simply criticize Sean Bean, all right? The man's a legend. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, right. So I haven't seen that many Jessica. I haven't seen Zero Dark 30, which apparently is her breakout film, which I haven't seen. But I watched Molly's Game last night, and it's about a woman. She's she was in contention to be a competitive downhill skier and had a terrible accident and basically ends up a little bit freewheeling in LA and ends up running a poker night.
Ah, that
and it swiftly snowballs into money and drugs and all kinds of things. A really good story. But whilst watching it last night, I suddenly realized that Jessica Chastain is the 21st century or this decade's Julia Roberts.
Ah.
Because she will do, she does. So there's another film that I want to watch, which she's in, which I'm probably going to watch this evening. But I watched Ada or Eva? Eva, I can't remember. But it was all right. It wasn't great. But there's a couple of films that she's in that's really quite good. So Jessica Chastain, and also she's got a couple of films coming up because a lot of people have been slowly steadily working obviously up to and including shutdown. She's got a fair few films coming up. There's a film coming out, there's a game called The Division, which I don't know if you've ever heard of.
Yes, Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yeah. They're making the film.
Is the game tied to any of Tom Clancy's books? Is it a movie of a game of a book?
It's kind of. I believe, and I'm not a huge fan of it, but I believe that The Division is like a group of covert agents who basically people like you who would just, you know, work day to day and then your phone goes off and suddenly you turn into Jason Bourne and you go off and you abseil down the side of the Burj Khalifa and shoot people in headshots and only headshots and be able to, you know, beat up 15 trained Marines hand to hand in one go, you know, like realistic stuff. But obviously for the rest of the time, you're just being a, you know, standard dad of N number of children, but suddenly you're like, I'm activation. Anyway, so, but she's in that. She's got a couple of films coming out, so it might be one to watch. But I think I saw her. There was a film that she was in, which had Tom Hardy and Shia LaBeouf. And it was about rum runners. I think it was called, what was it called? Lawless. I think it was called, it was called Lawless, but that was before she kind of broke in Zero Dark 30. But she was also in Interstellar, which is another film I haven't seen.
Oh, no, I have. but I don't recall her.
Yeah.
When I think of Interstellar, all I get is, Oh, rattle.
Yeah, that's understandable. But Miss Sloane is the other film that I want to watch that she's supposed to be in. So she had like a really good run. She had like Interstellar, then The Martian. So she was kind of like in space twice. Then she had Miss Sloane, where she was this kind of power broker in Washington. And then there was Molly's Game. And I think she got an Oscar nom for Molly's Game. I don't think she won it, though. And then she was in X-Men Dark Phoenix. But let's not talk about that. Everyone has like Michael Fassbender was in that, you know, he's fine, I forgive him. So yeah, it might be one to watch. So that was just something to think about, which brings us to our What the Fuffle section. But this is where we're going to get super stat heavy. So I think we need to take a break, get our protractors, our pencil protectors in our pockets, and our calculators,
our slide rules.
Slide rules, I need a slide rule. Okay, you get the slide rule. I'll go and get my glasses and we'll come straight back.
Okay, all right. It's time for stats.
Stat time. Okay, so we have... focus. Okay. Right, so we're going to go through a couple of stats. So this is the point of the podcast where if you're not playing the Fantasy Film League, first of all, two questions. First, why not? Secondly, why are you listening to this podcast? Anyway, exactly. It's fine, but this is the point where you might want to just, you know, have a quick look at some of the performances so far. So this data is obviously extremely skewed because we have a limited data set at the moment, although... We're looking at what? We're looking at May when the UK cinema comes back up online.
Mm-hmm. That's the current plan. Just the US. It's just the US box office. So everyone who's playing the game is kind of earning half normal money. So the figures we're sort of quoting for earnings are kind of half what you would normally expect, which also makes investing a little bit tricky because it's like, well, I have to look for cheaper people or just hope that their films last twice as long. So rather than the 4 weeks of winning, which is the usual standard operating procedure for the FFL, you're looking for a film that's going to be around for like 8 weeks. Now, that might sound like
there are films
a long
that
time.
Aren't doing it.
Wonder Woman 1984, still around.
Still there. Right? Yeah, The Croods, still there. So there's our films that are doing that. Doable. So yeah, we will hopefully see, you know, as everyone gets back online again, we will hopefully see all this stuff stabilize. We need to talk about basically the fact that they're going to release all of the films from 2020 in 2021, which is going to be very strange. But yeah, we can talk about that later on. So
find films coming in and out of the chart very quickly, quicker, you know, than we would expect, possibly.
Yes, possibly. So we just need to be mindful of all of this kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff to think about. But at the moment, we're just going to give you a quick breakdown on who has done what and where they have gone. So I've pulled up a list of the strongest performers from the past 4 weeks. So these are your top 10 of who you should have bought. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, that's great. That's really useful. Why don't you go back in time and tell me this stuff 4 weeks ago and then I can possibly win the FFL. Fear not, sarcastic and slightly sardonic listener. It is going to be okay. This is just for kind of historical purposes. After I've done my bit, I'm going to pass over to Smith. And but Smith, you're going to talk about the future.
Yeah, it's looking at how things played out recently is a good way of learning how to think about the future, right?
Those who do not study history are destined to repeat it.
Indeed. Thank you, Proto Yoda.
Those who do not delete their browser history are destined to explain it.
Yes, indeed.
Right. So here we go. So your top 10, very briefly, are number one is Joel Crawford.
Yep, which we talked about last time, right?
We talked about 8.7 million.
Yep.
Your next is
still at the top.
Still at the top, yeah. Next is Tim Story. 8.2 million. And again, you're going, who? And you go, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's animation director. There we go. Then you've got 3, 4, and 5 are all the same. And you've got 6.7 million for Denzel Washington, Jared Leto, and Rami Malek.
Yep. Now that is because they are in a film called The Little Things.
That's right. It's a serial killer and they're all top billing and it's really good, but your best bet on that would have been Jared. because Jared's not very expensive.
No. I'm looking at the figures. This is surprising. Jared Leto, 13 mil.
I see. I was about to say, or he's 13 mil because he's 13 mil for a reason. Because he's in the 13 zone because he knows what he's done, and the answer is the Joker.
Exactly. Then there's Rami Malek, 7.
Whoa.
And Denzel Washington, 5.
Denzel's 5. Right, that's being changed.
Absolute steal.
Absolute bargain. Now, I watched, have you seen Inside Man?
Yes, watched it not that long ago, in fact.
I watched it a couple of weeks back. That is
a
great film.
Stone Cold
we're gonna watch The Equalizer tonight, which is I've never seen, but it's Denzel Washington beating up Russian gangsters for reasons.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington, ledge. Anyway, sorry, I got
now
distracted.
Interestingly, there's three other people. Now they're not obviously the biggest earners, because now the as we go through the charts, we're not telling you like what they're netting, we're telling you just what they grossed. Right.
Yes.
So yeah, this is why it's interesting now to look at the prices. But there were three other people in that film. You could have had Natalie Morales, Jason James Richter, and Glenn Morshower were all supporting as well. So there was a full 6 people from that film you could have had.
But Denzel
was the cheapest person there.
Wow.
Along with Glenn, they were both 5. Right.
That
obviously
is a massive
Denzel's
going to
be earning twice as much, and that's why he's right near the top of the chart right now.
Right. Well, Denzel, he's getting repriced literally as soon as I hang up the phone on this one. So at number 6, so you've got Carlos Lopez Estrada, and he's earned you 6 mil.
Right.
So I can
use the director of Raya the Last Dragon.
Yep, there you go.
Now, that was an animation, but that went out both on Disney Plus and into cinemas at the same time. So it's interesting to see that he's done still, even though it was going out, to people's homes, still able to chart in the box office.
It is. However, I would like to, it will be very interesting to see that work when everything's up and running again. So, and this is a much longer conversation, but I mean, I've got one very careful eye on Dune, because I think that film would have done extremely well. And I think that releasing it same day in the States is going to hurt.
I'm nervous about Dune from what I've heard, some of the talk around it I've heard. But I'm totally going to go see it.
I'm 100% going to go and see it. I've seen every other version of Dune. I'm going to have to do it.
Just before we leave Raya, the Last Dragon. So Carlos Lopez Estrada is at the top because he's the director, and everyone else is a voice artist. As therefore, they don't earn a huge amount. But there's some really interesting people in there who we can't pass without mentioning. So, for a start, Kelly Marie Tran, who was in Star Wars Episode 8, and then like just basically totally forgotten about in 9, which was a travesty. Only 3 million Fufflepuffs. Would have been a really good buy. Aquafina is in there, but also we can't pass without mentioning Alan Tudyk, because he's awesome. And Gemma Chan, because Gemma Chan.
Oh, Gemma Chan. God. Gemma Chan. Fine.
Okay, we can move on now.
Thank you. Next on my list is at number seven and number 8 is Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins. Now, this is for Wonder Woman 1984, which came out on Christmas Day. And this is the last 4 weeks. So this is basically March.
Yeah. And they're still earning you.
They've got to be just absolutely. So if you kind of started with what the cast of Wonder Woman, that is still minting it in for you. So fair play. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to move beyond the top 10, because the film that's in 11 and 12 and 13, I really want to talk about. But a top 10 is, sorry, position 9 is Liam Neeson, because he's Liam Neeson. A man, Liam Neeson.
The once
Liam
and Neeson, future legend.
the man who just goes, do you like films where I slap people in the face a lot? Then you'll like this film. Yeah, so Liam Neeson is, I mean, we talked about him last time on the podcast.
Is he in Is he in? I'm going to do the research on the fly here. So this is for The Marksman.
Yes, which has stuck around for a long time.
And this is pretty much exactly the kind of film you're talking about. Because I think he's got a... He's doing some other more dramary, more actory films. But not... This isn't why he's in the charts
This is not why he's... This is not why he's one of the most bankable. Because he just churns out the middle-aged man.
It's going to cost you 40 million to buy... It's going to cost you 40 million for your slice of Liam. Though.
Yes.
He's reassuringly expensive.
But he's already made his money back, though, for this year. So he's good. And then in last place, you've got Daisy Ridley, Doug Liman, and Tom Holland. And they've all turned up in a interesting film, which is annoying because its name is different. Because it's marketed under a different name in the US and a different name in the UK. So I've forgotten what it's called in the US.
Is it Chaos Walking?
That's the bunny, Chaos Walking. It's called something different in the UK when it's released. Basically, it is a young adult sci-fi movie, which immediately makes everyone go, ugh. But it's a woman who crashes on a planet and all of the men's thoughts are broadcasted. So any thought that you have, any thought that passes through your mind is shouted out as loud as possible above your head, which is hilarious.
That's such a YA book premise. Yeah. It's like, it's the normal world, but one incredibly bizarre difference.
There are two things going for this film. There are two things mainly going for this film. One, it's directed by Doug Liman. Doug Liman makes whatever the hell he wants now. He just does whatever film he wants. He made Edge of Tomorrow, or as most people will call it, is it the live, die, repeat thingy with Tom Cruise?
Die, repeat, yeah.
Good film, and a sequel's coming, or a prequel, or a sidequel, or a thingy is coming.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, but also the main...
With Tom of Cruise?
I think Emily Blunt is in it, but I'm not sure if Tom's in it.
Okay, yeah.
But the other person who's in Chaos Walking, which makes me want to go and see it as the main bad guy, is Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
He is. If you say to me, Mads Mikkelsen's going to be in a film, he's reading the phone book for 2 hours, I'm in. I'm 100% in. That's it. So, yeah. But the other one is Tom Holland. Tom Holland is making lots of films that aren't anything to do with Spider-Man. He's also making a Spider-Man film.
Yep.
I think
he's
Tom
being
Holland,
very smart.
He is. He's making the Uncharted film. So, which is another video game.
Oh,
it's
the
kind
game.
Of a
Raiders
of the Lost Ark kind of vibe, where he runs around and jumps off things. He's obviously got another Spider-Man film coming up. He's going to probably just blink and you'll miss him show up in a couple of Marvel flicks.
Yeah,
but he's doing other things. Tom Holland could be a really good look for the back half of 2020.
Yeah.
So
$9 million Fufflebucks at the moment. Cheaper than Daisy Ridley's at 12.
Daisy Ridley's 12 because she's come off the back of Star Wars. That's basically why Daisy Ridley's 12.
Yep. She's got brand.
She's got brand, but a lot of the Star Wars cast, now that that ship has sailed, or in some cases, in some people's example, has crashed into the sun or planet, then
agreed.
We're kind of done. So yeah, her pricing will be market corrected.
Yeah. Mads Mikkelsen, $6 million.
Yeah, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen is basically waiting to take over from Liam Neeson. But Liam Neeson's decided he's made enough.
He's Liam Neeson's understudy.
He is. Because he can do both. He can be the bad guy and just, you know, do it. And also he can be the good guy and he can do the stuff.
Yeah.
The only
so
Mads Mikkelsen that's not good is a film called Polar. Don't watch it. It's not good.
Okay. I mentioned earlier that the Smith clan is plowing through the MCU films. So we hit Doctor Strange, and I'd forgotten that he's in it. He's the bad guy in it.
Yeah,
and he's great.
He's criminally underused, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, but like all Marvel films, all the bad guys are criminally underused. Although I've forgotten that Chiwetel Ejiofor is in that. Now, the reason I've said Chiwetel Ejiofor is because, first of all, I had a mental block on his name for like 2 years and I couldn't say Chiwetel Ejiofor. But he turned up in Inside Man the other week when I watched it.
Wow.
And he was in The Martian. And he is
he's good.
He's just sitting around doing lots of. He could be a really good journeyman to have in your cast.
Yeah, Do you know? Because there's a new
Doctor Strange.
Next Doctor Strange is coming. Do you know if he's in that?
He's in it. Yeah.
Because the post credits thing is like kind of setting him up definitely to be in the next movie. So
yes, I believe he is in the next one, but I don't know what his involvement is. Whether he's in
Doctor Strange. He's slightly doing the Sean Bean. I'm in a slightly different movie from everyone else. Performance. He's like
yes.
Not in a bad way, but just like he is like his character is like 100% committed.
He is. Yes, he's taking it very seriously. Everyone else is kind of winking to the camera, and he's going no.
Yeah, because there's definitely a humor to Doctor Strange that I'd forgotten about again. I think I saw it at the cinema, and then. No, I saw it on a plane, and this is the only time I've seen it since. And it was like I'd forgotten that Benjamin Cumberbatch is quite funny in it.
Everyone's quite funny in it. Yeah, but Gita Veljevo is definitely like, he's taking it dead serious.
We're saving the world, goddammit. This is serious.
I'm acting.
Yeah. Which is a bit like, which is what I was talking about Sean Bean in the
Martian.
The Martian. It's a little bit like. You know, he's like, oh no, Matt Damon, he could die if we don't save him. Let's go save him. And like, Sean Bean's like, my God, he's going to die. They're all going to die. They could actually die. It's real for him.
Yes. I mean, in fairness, he was the best thing in Jupiter Ascending as well.
Oh, by a country mile.
By a mile.
I love it. No, this is in no way having a go at Sean Bean. He is amazing.
Okay,
so
before we get on to your piece on this and looking at the future, I just need to take a little brief aside. Have you seen, there is an advert for a brand of tea in the UK called Yorkshire Tea.
I'm aware of Yorkshire Tea. I have Yorkshire Tea in my mug.
There you go. We're not sponsored by Yorkshire Tea.
You should be.
But the whole brand is about doing things properly. And they go, if you're going to do tea, do it properly. And they show you the factory, and they have various people working in the factory who are famous Yorkshire people who are doing it. So, for example, on the Hold Music, they don't have Hold Music. They have the Kaiser Chiefs playing live. and they have Michael Parkinson, who is a very famous television interviewer. He's working in HR doing the interviews for jobs, right? But Sean Bean comes in to do the health and safety briefing. And it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I saw it on television and I was just like, hang on, is that Sean Bean?
Sean Bean.
They're all on YouTube. Have a look. They're brilliant. But the Sean Bean doing a health and safety briefing. We're talking about taking it seriously. He's taking it proper seriously.
Commit. He's full 100% on. Commit.
He is Excellent. Committed to that health and safety briefing. It's brilliant. Anyway, sorry, complete aside. We need to wrap up, but we need to talk about the future. Hang on, wait, I need to do my... Now, for those of you who can't see, I'm doing my gesturing towards the future pose.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You're like Bill and Ted, man.
Whoa. Future dudes. Right, don't go full Keanu. Whoa.
No, never go full Keanu.
No, you never... Right, over to you. I've talked about where you should have put.
Yeah,
your money,
so we want the statty bit to be two things: learn from the recent past, and then cast our eye to the future. So I've been having a look at the films that are coming out, and there's really not a lot coming
many
out
at the moment. But that's okay.
We're just going to look for kind of like the weekend of the 2nd of April and the 9th of April. So the next two weekends before, basically what's coming out before we come back with another podcast. And so this weekend next weekend coming, there's really only one game in town, and that is Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, right. Okay.
That is it. And
I'm not a huge Godzilla fan. I didn't like any of the films. I watched the rubbish one, and I watched the one with Bryan Cranston, who was in it for like 2 minutes.
Criminally underused, yeah. Bryan Cranston. So he was all over the trailer. So I'll give you a little plot read down here. So this is the epic next chapter in the cinematic monsterverse. the monster.
Okay, band. That's not even a word.
It pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in the balance.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm guessing a lot of
buildings.
So this
is like Avengers
explode.
Assemble, but it's more like Monsters Mash Up, I guess.
Is it just Rampage?
Who is in? Yeah, no, I think Rampage is a much better movie. It's got Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, and Rebecca Hall are your primary movers and shakers in that. And it's directed by Adam Wingard. And you can have all of those. They're all available, plus a couple of extras. I would, if I'm going to be, the tipster. If you like a little
He's gone full cockney. Oh, God. Go on.
What I'd say to you is I'd put it all in on Millie Bobby Brown.
Would you whack a pony down on that? Is it a pony or a monkey? How does that work? I don't speak
ponies,
cockney.
Two ponies, a monkey, the whole circus.
I do a wildebeest. I do a wildebeest in that. Lovely. You read full Ray Winston. Oh my God.
I know.
Oh, I wasn't.
It's because we're into gambling territory.
I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for a full. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for a. Right. Oh God.
Millie Bobby Brown is the cheapest in that film. She'll only set you back.
Four monkeys. Lovely.
4 million buffle bucks.
Lovely.
Top billing. Rebecca Hall also 4 million, but I'm not sure if she'd be top billing, right? Because there's three names at the top here, right? And it's I don't really know quite who's going to be.
And how much is Alexander Skarsgård?
7, right? Which now, under normal circumstances, would be really great. But obviously, you're only earning half. But it still means if he's like top billing, he only needs to be around for a couple at the top of the chart for 3 weeks, and you'll be cashing in. Millie, if she does end up top billing, it's only 2 weeks and you'll be into profit. So frankly, even if she's not top billing at 4 million, 4 weeks, you're done, right? And I think there's so little else.
Can you say, first of all, 4 weeks and you're done. I'd like you to say 4 weeks and you're sorted, if you wouldn't mind. If you would do the accent. Because just for me.
If you're all in on Millie, 4 weeks, you're sorted.
Oh God!
I'm glad we're doing this just for your amusement.
It's just for my amusement. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going to go full cockney on that. I just wasn't quite prepared for that.
I mean, so why am I saying this? What else is out there at the moment? You've got a film called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. Yes, it's your quarterly Kevin Sorbo Christian funded film.
Wow.
You've got Army of the Dead with Dave Batista.
Yeah, that's coming out on Netflix. I thought though, I wasn't.
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly.
Know
so these are just ones that are sort of that are listed. There's something called
Army
the
of the Dead. Army of the Dead, by the way, is directed by Zack Snyder, who's getting a lot of press at the moment because he's basically recut his bad film into a 4-hour version of the same bad film. But he directed that. Army of the Dead is 100% a future bad film contender because it's about a group of mercenaries who go into a zombie quarantined Las Vegas to pull a bank heist.
Yep.
Now, I'm in.
You've got, well, that's how, I mean, yes. Sorry. I'm in. For Bad Film Club, 100%. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got, what else is coming out? French Exit. So that's Michelle Pfeiffer and Lucas Hedges.
Good.
An aging Manhattan socialite living on what's barely left of her inheritance moves to a small apartment in Paris with her son and cat. And they both look miserable on the poster. So that tells you, that doesn't speak to me like
That's awards heavy though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That is, in fact, if you look at the poster, it's all quotes and things. And a little picture of them sitting in the back of a cab looking really miserable. So
that's been sent out. I don't think it's going to be a qualifier.
Possibly Every Breath You Take. Which is directed by Vaughn Stein and has Michelle Monaghan, Sam Kathlin, Casey Affleck, and Emily Allen Lind in. Might do something, but I think I'm not sure these are the films people want right now.
I think you're thinking big, dumb, smashy.
If you're going to go to the cinema, right, what do you want? You've got a huge screen, an even huger bucket of popcorn. You probably want, large monsters destroying everything.
A sound system that can dislodge right. internal organs. Yeah, yeah, I want to see stuff blow up. Yeah.
Now, the only other thing to consider is that's just this week coming. The next week is one film listed coming out. One film. And it's Voyages. and which is Voyages. A crew of astronauts on a multi-generational mission descend into paranoid madness, not knowing what is real or not, which seems a bit like Passengers, but with more people. I would probably just not really consider this at all, but for the fact it has Colin Farrell in it.
Oh.
I know, as soon as Colin Farrell Sold. Comes along, you are in.
I'm in because I wasn't yep. sure my stock. I did divest a couple of my stocks on Colin Farrell for a while, and then he came back last year as the coach in The Gentleman, which is every single scene he is in that film. Have you seen The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey? Right.
No, I'm Your aware homework, of it, but
you need to watch it. It's on. I think you can find it on one of the streaming platforms. But he turns up as a boxing coach, and he just wears Burberry the whole time, and he is, and every scene he is in, he absolutely steals it. He steals the film from underneath Hugh Grant playing a scumbag and Matthew McConaughey being Matthew McConaughey, and he steals the film by just going, "Oh, that is brilliant." There's a bit where they kidnap a journalist, and it is possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because he walks away, there's a scream, and he delivers the line, "Oh, we all know what that bit is." Really, really so brilliantly. But anyway, sorry. Colin Farrell, I'm in. So yeah.
Other folk you might have in that movie, Ty Sheridan, Lily Rose Depp, who I didn't know about, but looks like her dad, so clearly is descended from...
She's a Depp. Okay.
Johnny. Isaac Hempstead Wright are some of the people who are in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so
but,
maybe...
I think for the next couple of weeks, all in on Godzilla. I mean, that's what I'm going to do, right?
It's Smith's. Is it Smith's tip?
It's Smith's top tip.
I can't do the voice. Right.
I've just got to be careful. Cool. I don't slip into that guy from The Boys, played by what's his face?
Keith Urban. Yeah. That's not a great accent.
And Billy Butcher.
Carl Urban, sorry. The Butcher. All right. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to have to start beeping you for language, aren't we?
Exactly. That's what I was worried about. Yep. That's it.
Right. Well, I think we've covered a lot. I've got a whole new appreciation for your ability to do accents. we've clearly uncovered the fact that Jessica Chastain is certainly needs more investigation. I'll be watching more of her films. Colin Farrell is in a spaceship movie next week, so I'm totally 100% in on that. And our advice is buy Godzilla, King Kong, and obviously Liam Neeson. They're the three things that you should always invest in.
Titans.
Giant Titans. Release the Kraken. That's it for this week. We are done. We are back in 2 weeks' time. We won't have a bad film to cover in 2 weeks' time because we don't want to go near. We're still recovering from the Julia Roberts thing. But hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity on what's coming up. Obviously, as things move on and things start to reopen, we're kind of gradually reopening here in the UK. So cinemas still aren't open, but
keep you appraised in podcasts to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as soon as we can get back in the cinema, then we'll need to talk about Bond, because I've still got money on that. So in the meantime, if you want to get hold of us, best place to find us is we're kind of always lurking around on our Discord group. You can find us there. You can get us on the Twitter. I'm at Mr. Birch FFL, or you can get us collectively. You're never sure which one's going to answer you, are at the FFL. Anything else that you want to add in?
I'm going to go and get a cup of tea.
Lovely. I will see you in 2 weeks' time.
See ya.